The title of the sermon is called Heavenward. Okay, called Heavenward. Each one of you is called Heavenward. And the passage, the main text is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. The call that we have to heavenward is not when once we die and then we go to heaven. As a believer, eternal life starts the moment that you become a Christian. That's when it starts. Because once we become a Christian, we already have the eternal life. Death has no more power over us. So once we become a Christian, eternity starts. Eternity starts. And so once we become a Christian, we are on this journey heavenward. We're already on this journey. And I believe going heavenward is what Jesus prayed at the Lord's Prayer. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it's in heaven, in Matthew chapter 6. So this journey that we're on together, going heavenward, it is ushering in the kingdom of God on earth. It's ushering in the kingdom of God on earth. The kingdom of God is heavenward in us, in our home, in our church, and in the world that we live. This means we don't have to wait to press on. In this passage, it says press on toward the goal to win the prize. Go toward heavenward. We don't have to wait to press on heavenward. We don't have to wait for the right resource, the right job, people's approval. It doesn't matter how you feel. You can have a great day. You can have a miserable day. Each one of us, all of us here, we're called heavenward. You and I are not called to go to shame that way, or condemnation or bondage. You and I are not called to brokenness, offense, or division. 2020 was hard, and let's not stop and be stuck in 2020. For 2021, let's press on toward the goal to win the prize Christ has for us. Let's go heavenward. The 2020 shaking brought out the issues of our heart. The past brokenness, anger, rejection, depression, failure, weakness, sin. 2021, let's press on heavenward. Let's be the forerunners that breaks boundaries. Our vision for the church, that's what it means. We're going to press on heavenward. 2020 revealed the weakness in our government, in our home, in our church. Let's leave the rejection, the abuse, the abandonment, and go heavenward toward healing, freedom, and redemption. Let's leave the division, the broken relationship, and go heavenward toward reconciliation and unity. Let's leave the spiritual attack and go heavenward toward victory. Let's leave the old and go heavenward toward the new that God has for us. You and I are called. This is a calling. Some of you are going, what's my calling in my life? What job? If you're single, who should I marry? What is God's will? Well, here you're called heavenward. In the time of Elijah, the kingdom goal, God's kingdom goal was not that Baal worship steal the hearts of God's people. God's kingdom goal was not for people to die in the long famine that they were experiencing. The goal that's in Christ Jesus. What was the goal? What was the kingdom goal? That the Baal worship would be destroyed and God's reign to fall on the land that was dry. The goal in Christ Jesus when it comes to spiritual battle, you know, we have this wrong picture of spiritual battle. It is not victory, but it is not victory. It's not about the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. It's not about the freedom and walking in freedom. But much spiritual battle is because the enemy has taken the offensive. And as a Christian, we have got so used to it that we're okay with that. For many Christians, spiritual battle is defensive. You know, we're fighting so the enemy don't steal our spiritual territory. We fight so that the enemy don't steal our heart, our family, our relationship, our calling, our identity, our purpose. But biblically, Jesus had a very different idea of spiritual warfare. The goal, it says, is to win. Is to win, for which Christ has called us heavenward. It is not to continuously be harassed by demonic spirit. It is to take the offensive. It is to go into the territory of the devil. It is to win. It is to be victorious. That's what the Great Commission is about. Go and make disciples of all nations in Matthew 28. And Jesus says about the church, this is what Jesus says about you. Some of you who are going through intense spiritual warfare, right? This is the promise that God has for you. The gates of Hades will not overcome you. It is not that the enemy is to continuously lie to you, steal, and destroy. We are to go into the darkest place and bring the light of God into the darkness. It is not that the demons should harass us, but when it says the gates of Hades will not overcome you, what it's saying is we are to harass the demons as Christians. Right? Did you hear that? We are called to harass the demons, not the other way around. We're called to go into the gates of hell and destroy it. We are called to liberate others the devil has taken captive and set them free. The Bible says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me. Huh? Don't forget that. The Holy Spirit's in you to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the prison door. That's our calling. That is our calling. You know, this passage says that we need to press on this heavenly journey. Okay, when I saw that word press, right? And I'm not trying to discourage you, but this is the reality. Okay? It's not easy. It's not automatic. There will be resistance. That's why we have to press on. Okay? The enemy will resist you. Your flesh will resist you. Other people around you might resist you. But the Bible says not to lose hope, but to press on. To press on. And I want to talk about three areas that we need to press on. Three areas that we're going to be victorious. We're going to win. Okay? And first area is in faith. Faith, I want us to proclaim, faith wins. Okay? Faith wins. Let's say that together. Faith wins. You know, all churches are different and unique. You know, some church focus on worship. You know, some focus more on mission, some on evangelism, some on discipleship, some on teaching, right? And even because every Christian is different and unique, we all have the unique personality, gifting, passion, calling, and purpose. But every church, every Christian is called to faith. Right? Nobody is exempt. We're all called to have faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when, you know, I read this so many times, you know, it just hit me. It says it's impossible. Okay? It's impossible to please God without faith. And so the Bible talks about, you know, faith as a mustard seed. And the Bible says, if we have a faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountain. And Jesus says, a mustard seed is very small at first, but it becomes a great tree. And this is God's picture for all believers with their faith. So right now, some of you are saying, I have such small faith. God, I don't think God could do much with it. No, no. What the Bible says, okay, you might feel that your faith is small, but God's going to continuously grow it. It's going to continuously grow. And we need to continuously grow our faith until when? We tell the mountain to move, and the mountain moves. Okay? Until the mountain moves. Right? And so with our faith, we need to go heavenward. And remember, heaven is eternal. We need to go heavenward, not get smaller in our faith, not go backward in our faith. Every year, every month, every week, every day, let that mustard seed grow a little bigger. Let's grow in our faith. That's how we win in faith. You know, don't compare yourself to some spiritual, you know, in your mind, the spiritual giant that you read about, or, you know, watch a documentary about, or you saw in some other country. Right? Don't do that. Right? But it's believe, no matter where you think you are in your faith, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to get stronger. But don't go backward. Okay, don't go backward in faith. The 10th scout's faith went backward in the wilderness. Okay? 2020 and maybe 2021 will be a wilderness, but let's not go backward in faith. When they explored the promised land, you know, they saw the giant, they saw the fortified city, and they said they are able to devour us, that we have no chance. You know, that we are grasshoppers. That's how the 10 scouts saw it. But Caleb and Joshua was also in the wilderness, but their faith grew in the wilderness, not become weaker, but it became stronger. In the wilderness of 2020, let our faith go heavenward in 2021. Caleb and Joshua won with faith. They proclaimed, don't be afraid. And this is what we need to, this is how we stir our faith. Say, I'm not going to be afraid. No matter how you feel, you know what Caleb and Joshua said? Even though they saw the same giants that the 10 scouts saw, even though they saw the fortified city, you know what they said? The Lord is pleased with us. The Lord will lead us into that land. The Lord will give us that land. Well, and their faith got stronger and stronger. And that's what we need to do. Start with, don't be afraid. Okay? But it needs to get stronger. Hey, I'm going to believe that the Lord is pleased with us. He is with me. He will lead and get stronger. I'm not afraid to go to that land. He will lead us into that land. And get stronger. He will give us that land. And you know what they said at the end? We will devour them. We will devour them. That mustard seed faith got bigger and bigger and bigger. When the nation of Israel, the army of Israel, was faced with Goliath, the army, Israel army, went backwards. Instead of facing the Goliath, they went and hid in caves. They were afraid and they ran away. My brothers and sisters, there are things that you're facing. I'm asking you not to run away. Okay? Not to hide in caves. but face your Goliath with faith. David went heavenward with faith because he saw the same Goliath that the army saw, that Saul saw. But David won with faith. He said to Goliath, okay, and this is what you need to say to your Goliath. You came against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. The Lord will deliver you into my hand. We all have, inner voice of doubt. And when you hear from God what he wants you to do, okay? And you have Goliath. You know what God's saying? Face that Goliath and I will give you victory. But it's scary. It is scary. And it's scary to, do the will of God because God wants to do the impossible through you. He wants to do the impossible through you. And so it does shake us. It scares us. It's hard to believe. But heavenward faith believes in the midst of the doubt, in the midst of the fear, in the midst of spiritual attack, when you're in the wilderness. That's what heavenward faith is. Human faith is, everything's going well, there's great provision, and everybody likes you, I believe. That's human faith. God is calling you to heavenward faith. And so you're going to believe. We need to believe in the midst of the voice of fear, the voice of doubt, the voice of resentment, the voice of insecurity. And we hear it, You're going to fail. Nobody cares. You can't do it. But let's win with faith in 2021. Let's go heavenward in our faith. Let's proclaim what Caleb, Joshua, and David proclaimed when they faced giants when they were in the wilderness. God is with us. Follow after me. God is with us. Speak that out. God is with me. God will direct me. God will help me. Greater is he who is in me than the one that is in the world. If God is for me, who can be against me? God will give me victory. Their protection is gone. We will devour them. Faith wins. Number two, light wins. Say that with me, light wins. Matthew 5 verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. Right? Jesus says about you. Man, he really thinks great of you. when he thinks about you, he is so positive. And he says, you are the light of the world. Right? I don't know what kind of background you come from, your family, and what you heard, as a child and home, from your parents, from your school. No. This is God who never lies. He always speaks truth. And he's saying to you, you are the light of the world. Not you are the light, in your bedroom. You're the light, when you just feel good. You're the light of the whole world. Right? When people heard Jesus, when he said that to them, they probably said, I'm too broken, I'm too poor, I'm always struggling, I'm not that important, I'm not good enough, I'm a mistake. There's no way I'm the light, right? Let Jesus speak into your heart. You are the light of the world. And we need to believe this, because when we believe this, what happens is that light turns on. Right? How do you overcome darkness? You don't push out darkness, you turn on the light. That's how you overcome darkness. Light wins. Right? Light wins. You are the light of the world. Jesus saying, if you are light, light, okay, no matter what darkness you're going through, you're going to overcome it. Okay? Did you ever see darkness and you turn on the light, somehow darkness still, I don't know, fills the room? No. Yeah. Once the light comes on, darkness is gone. Right? The Pharisee in the time of Jesus carried a long light. They thought it was God's light, but it wasn't. Yeah. Because this is how they saw God's righteousness. It was about separation. They looked down on everyone else. They point out people's weakness to show that they're better than them. They wrongly, you know, light, they thought light was about pointing out sins. Right? You know who's very good at pointing out sin? The devil. Okay? The devil's really good at pointing out sin. They thought light is pointing out sin, arguing with people, being judgmental, you know? No. God, when God says you are the light of the world, light doesn't point out what is wrong with you. The true power of the light is that darkness flee when there is light. Where there's bondage, there's freedom. Where there's demonic activity, there's victory. Where there is hopelessness, there is hope. Light gives hope. Where there's hatred, there's love. The lost, when there's light, the lost is saved. People come to the Lord. People love the Lord. Others are transformed by the light of God shining through us. You know, you know, light continues to move outward, you know, and we have God's light and it's supposed to continuously go heavenward. Think about it. Here on earth, we are able to see a light that has been traveling for 13 billion years. Did you know that? Huh? You know, at the end of the universe, we're able to see at the far end of the universe, this light that's been traveling for 13 billion years. And it hits Earth 13 billion years later. So what does that show about light? It never stops. It just continues and go outward, continuously go outward. Light continue to shine. Right? You're the light of the world. God's light is in you. It's more powerful than that light that hit Earth 13, that's been traveling for 13 billion years, that galaxy light. More powerful is the light that is in you. That is in you. That light needs to continue to shine. Like that, you know, galaxy that's 13 billion light years away is still shining after 13 billion years. Continue to mature spiritually. Continue to walk out the healing. Don't ever get discouraged about it. Huh? I know that we do inner healing in our church and walking it out is not easy, but don't ever go backwards. Continue to be a light that goes, don't ever get discouraged about walking out healing. You know, would you be discouraged about eating good food? Right? Well, healing is good. There's nothing wrong with healing. Huh? And so don't ever get discouraged about continuously walking out healing. Can we all agree? Freedom is good. Amen? Amen? Freedom is good. If you're going to be a light, you never get discouraged about walking out your freedom. You never stop. You are the light of the world. Well, if you are light, you don't get discouraged about fighting the spiritual battle. You don't get discouraged. If you are light, you continuously shine. You continuously fight until you overcome. Continue to overcome. Continue to win. Continue on heavenward. The church said, amen. Okay, faith wins, light wins. Number three, love wins. Okay. Love wins. Say that with me. Love wins. You know, the Pharisee asked Jesus, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses in Matthew 22. And Jesus answered, you know, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. But Jesus goes further, you know, and he says this. There's a second that's equally important. Loving God, and this also this commandment is equally important. It's the great, together is the greatest commandment. Second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so we come to church to show that we love God. We read the Bible to show that we love God. We come to prayer meeting to show that we love God. But God says this. God says, if you truly love me, you can love one another. You need to. You have to. It's just as important, equally as important. You have to love one another. Yeah, Jesus was saying, if you truly love God, you won't spend all your energy on getting people to obey the law. Instead, you will spend your energy and time working on your heart so that you could love more. Right? And that's something worthwhile. Again, in this broken world, you know, we want to give up on good things. That's what the devil wants to do. But I'm here to remind you and to remind myself, okay? Loving more is always good. It's always good. Okay. And so, what I to you know to love more is you had to work on your own heart. Okay. There are things in our heart that prevents love, like religious spirit, legalism, performance, and if you want to love more, you're gonna have to really humble yourself. You're going to have to work hard to get rid of that religious spirit, the critical heart, that judgmental spirit, that legalism, that performance. And do more of this. You know, if you really want to love more, you know what you would do? Right. This is where this is the kind of the barometer for me of how much I love people. If you really love more, if you want to love more, you know what you will do more of? You'll pray for people more. Right. You will pray for people more. You'll forgive those who offend you. You'll believe in you know, others. You encourage somebody else. You will actually put into action. You'll help one another. You move heavenward in love. So remember this in this dark time. We're not out of the woods yet. Okay? We're not out of the woods yet. We cannot do it alone. We need each other. God's plan is to build a church, a community, a spiritual family that will be there for one another during dark times. When under great darkness, you need to find people who will be there for one another. In difficult time, you know, there's two type of people, those who will hinder you, those who will love you. Catalyst, be the one that will love one another. There will be people that will shake and stop you. And then there will be people that will strengthen and support you. We need to be the people that strengthen and support. So my challenge to Catalyst, let's be that church that help, strengthen, and support one another. We need to be that community more than ever. It's not when during the good time. We really need one another during dark times. Let's be that community. A church that doesn't fight with one another, but fight for one another. A church that moves heavenward in faith, being that light, and in love. And God's people said, amen. Amen.